Okay, our topic is wait on the Lord, right? Am I right, Sister Tammy?
Yes.
Reviewing it is wait on the Lord. Okay. Now let's see. Apply these. Does that make sense? Be patient on the Lord. So if you were to apply the word patient, what would that mean? Lord, be patient? No, right? We are to be patient. So how? No, not about how to wait, but what do you mean by wait? Patient on the Lord? Can you explain in another way? Patient for the Lord? To act? Is it okay? Is it what you mean? You want the thing to be done quickly, but the Lord is not doing it. So you have to be patient for the Lord to act. Does that make sense? Okay. Any other way to apply the word patient? Okay, you can think you are very quiet, ladies. Women are supposed to be quiet and in spirit, right? But at least when I ask Angela, cannot be always so quiet. Alright, then take time. Take time on the Lord, meaning what? Okay, stop. Stop on the Lord. So quite difficult. Ponder on the Lord. So you see, actually the word wait is quite hard to think on. So whenever you, when people ask you, what does it mean wait on the Lord? And you say, wait now, wait for the Lord, wait on the Lord. You tell people, what does it mean? Okay, now tell me what you mean when you say wait on the Lord. If you were to tell somebody, wait, okay, Richard. Have you ever told people, anybody, are you waiting for the Lord? You did, right? What does that mean? What do you mean when you said that? Be patient. Be patient. What is it? To know the
Lord.
Okay. To know God's will. Okay. You don't know what to do, but be patient. More or less the same, right? The Lord to guide you, the Lord to talk to you, or the Lord to show you the way, the Lord to act. Okay. So most of the time we use the word patient to talk about, wait to talk about being patient. Be patient. But sometimes people also take the word wait, you know, I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm waiting on the Lord, to justify their inactivity. I ask you, does this word wait means inactivity? I'm waiting on the Lord. Hey brother, I didn't see you coming, signing up for the church camp. I'm waiting on the Lord. What do you mean? Praying that? Is that correct use of the word? What do you mean by waiting on the Lord? Cannot be inactivity. Cannot use to justify, you know, a thing that you're supposed to do but you're not doing it. Then you give the excuse, I'm waiting for the Lord. Waiting for what? When God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and you are called to preach, and you say, I'm waiting. No problem. Or if the husband says, pastor says to the husband, and the husband had a quarrel with the wife, and says, you must go home and love your wife as Christ loved. I am a pastor, I'm waiting on the Lord to help me to do it. Or the other way, you tell the wife, you go home and submit to your wife. Let me wait on the Lord and see how it can be done. That's a wrong thing to say, right? These are the things you don't wait. You do it. But if you can say, I'm waiting on the Lord to do it, what does that mean? Okay. You know what wait, waiter? Why do you call a person waiter? But how do you spell the word waiter? W A I E R O R. Okay. I think yeah, right? My spelling is not good. Okay. Waiter. So, if you are waiting on the Lord, what does that mean? I mean, waiting on a person, what does that mean? You are ready to serve. Actually, in Bible, does that mean? You are ready to take God's will and do it. Wait on the Lord is not always be patient. Actually, the word is not inactivity, but activity. In the Old Testament, the priests are said to be waiting on the Lord, or stand by God. Now, stand by the Lord doesn't mean just stand there the whole day. Stand means to ready to serve, to take order. And so, wait on the Lord can also mean ready to take the order, ready to fulfill the order from God, ready to go at His will. And that's what. So when you wait, you are not passive in your approach to God. You are very active. Your mind is ready. It doesn't talk about inactivity. It doesn't talk about passivity. But it talks about ever willing, ever ready, set to go spirit of a man. You understand? And no sense of laziness, no sense of unwillingness, no sense of inactivity, but fully active, ready to be activated, in other words. Like the soldiers of Singapore, you know, every time they get a recall, when the court word is splashed on the TV screen, or by mobile phone or WhatsApp, in these days they spread, immediately they will go. So that readiness is also involved in the word wait. Wait on the Lord. Did you get it? Okay. The best way to study the word in the Bible is to look at its context. So I have tried to group some passages in the book of Psalms where you have the word wait. By the way, the word wait has many, many different meanings in the Indian Bible. Sometimes, you know, I wait for the blood of the man, and that can mean I'm very wild and ready to kill. So I try to extend those words, but just those waiting on the Lord, I put together. And I want you to feel it, alright? Okay, let's try. Let's look at the verses I put together. I think I have grouped together about five different shapes of meaning of the word. It can be more, you can develop that. So what does it mean to wait on the Lord according to these passages? First, okay, let's try. Verse 3. Yet let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. So what does the word wait here to mean? Before that, I want to ask the question. What sort of statement is it? Is it a command? Is it a doubtful assertion? Is it a poem? Is it a prayer? Is it what sort of mood of expression is there in verse 3? What do you think? Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. What is that? It's a prayer? Right, so you can actually say waiting is prayer, right, in a way. Let's read the next verse. What does it sound like? Don't write that. You can write by the side. You can fill in later. What is the next one? Lead me in thy truth. Maybe you can write next to the verse itself what you want to write. Later we summarize right at the top. Okay. Lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 35 verse 5. Now what does that mean? Now, what kind of statement is that? Again, a prayer, right? So it looks like the common characteristic is prayer. Now, verse 7 of Psalm 39. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Again, a confession. It's a confession. It's a prayerful confession. He's prayed and he confessed that. He is. You know, what confess does not always mean repent. Confess means making a statement. This is my confession. This is my faith, and I confess it. So, Lord, what I wait for, I hope is to be. Okay, it's a prayerful confession. Now next, verse 9 of Psalm 59. Because of His strength will I wait upon Thee, for God is my defense. Again, a confession, right? A resolution of heart. It's a prayerful consecration, or prayerful confession, or prayerful assertion. Okay. Now, Psalm 104, verse 37. These wait all upon Thee, and Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Now, that's again someone praying to God on behalf of the people and the creatures that are waiting for God to provide. Again, it's a prayerful assertion, a prayerful confession, you might say. Psalm 145, verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Again, a prayerful confession to God. That's why God is addressed as Thee. It's a conversation. One is engaging in this conversation with God, which is a prayer. So you see, one of the unique characteristics of waiting is prayer, right? Can you see that? Whether praying particularly, or making a confession about God. So waiting is prayer. You can just add one word there. Waiting is prayer. What more? What kind of prayers? Prayer for provision, prayer for protection, prayer for help, right? And so all those verses actually speaks of waiting as prayer for provision, protection, guidance, defense, and salvation, and so on. So, when somebody is constantly praying to God for his needs, his fears, that the Lord may act on his behalf, it's called waiting. Alright, let's go to the next set of verses and see what is it. What's to say? Alright, let's ask each of you to read one by one. Okay, tell me you start.
Psalm 62, verse 5.
62.
My soul wait thou upon, only upon God, for my expectation is from Him.
Okay. What is waiting in your opinion? Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul wait thou only upon God. This is not praying. This is talking to oneself, right? Okay, so this is not prayer. It is actually self-encouraging. Self-educating. Okay, what is that? My soul, wait thou upon God, and my expectation is from Him. So this is self-exhorting or self-encouraging for what? Anyone? My expectation is from God. Wait thou only upon God, right? So exhorting oneself to depend on God alone. In other words, you can say waiting is depending on God at the exemption of all, right? By exempting all. Only on God. You refuse to look at anybody but only on God. Very clear, isn't it? My soul wake up. You must educate yourself. When you educate yourself, not to listen to all sorts of advice that are ungodly, but only on God, that's waiting. So waiting is praying and relying only on God. You will not listen to anything that is not of God. Oh my soul, only upon God, totally upon God. Now let's read the next verse, see whether it gives us the same idea. 69 verse 3, okay, go ahead.
I'm
weary
of my cry,
I'm going
to cry.
You're an FEBC student, right? Nice, read loud.
Okay.
can't must speak homiletically, okay? She's my student.
Psalm 69, verse 3.
Ah, that's good. Now you sound like a BBC.
I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fill while I wait for my God.
Okay. This is again a testimony. One is giving a testimony. I am weary of my crying. He's making a self-report, a self-reflection, you might say. Okay, well, what is he saying? I'm weary of my crying, my throat is dry, my eyes fail. While what? Wait for my God. You see, he's not saying, I cry and cry, my daddy would come, but if my daddy never come, I'm still crying for him to come. That's not what it is. Oh, I'm waiting and waiting for my wife to come, or my husband to help me, but he never bothered, he never turned this way. Oh, I'm still crying. No. What is this person crying for? Waiting for God to come and help. You want God to help. Have you ever been in that situation? Keep waiting for God and God alone. Do you have such cravings for God? Waiting is craving for God and God alone. Let me try and see whether you remember the psalm that talks about the psalmist waiting. I waited for the Lord. Anybody remember that psalm? Okay, go to Psalm 40 if your Bible is with you. You can write down that verse as well on this. Psalm 40. This is a confession of a man who regarded God so greatly. I what? Read together. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. So this is after waiting long, he's giving a testimony. God heard my prayer. So to wait upon the Lord, sometimes you need patience. And the patience would mean crying and weeping and desperation that you feel in your soul. How many of you really praying with such hunger and thirst for God? Any other psalm that you can think of that talks about the desire for God? Anybody remember? How about Psalm 42? Anybody remember that? The craving for God. Let's read verses 1 and 2. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So this hunger for God, desire for God, constant desire. The psalmist was away from the house of God and he wanted to come to God's presence and worship, and that's why he says, in fact, he says in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? People have been mocking him because he couldn't go to the house of God and worship, and so he was craving. Let me ask you, how many of you really wait for God like this? How many of you crave for God? How many of you want to be in the presence? I hope you came because you want to be with the Lord. You want to hear God's word. That craving brought you. Of course, Tabernacle has more ladies than this. Right? I'm sure, I wish all of them are here. But I'm not going to judge them, let the Lord know. The Lord knows. But I think if the women in Tabernacle, you can quote me, it's okay, I'm not scared. If the Tabernacle women really craved for God, I am sure they will take leave and come here. They may even cancel the holiday, which the leaves are kept for. God would give you. They really craved. Do you crave for the Lord on the Lord's day to worship Him? And that's what it means. Craving for God. Do you crave for God every day? Oh, sometimes you say, I'm so busy I didn't pray. Oh, that means you are. But did you forget your lunch? You're so busy you didn't eat your lunch. Seldom happens. Even if we don't have time to lunch, we will pack it. Or we take some biscuits along to lunch. We do something, somewhere, to feed ourselves. You may be very busy. Maybe an emergency happened and you rushed out. You couldn't have a quiet time because of the emergency. But along the way, if you are hungry, you will pray. You will seek the Lord. You try to remember God. And you must be characterized by a spiritual hunger. So the wait also means what? A hunger and a thirsting. A craving for God. And God alone. Craving for God above all things. I'm waiting on the Lord. Oh, when can I be with Him and fellowship with Him? You know, those who wait for the Lord will be characterized by a spiritual hunger for all things spiritual. You know, you would, if you are starting a year and you will want to put God first, you want to find out when will be the church camp, when will the retreat be, and I'm going to dedicate a big portion of my new year for the Lord, and I'm going to give, if I have 14 days of leave or 20 days of leave, I'm going to dedicate it for the Lord. If I'm a housewife or mother, then I'm going to talk to my husband and wife. I'm sorry, husband and children. You are all ladies, right? And so I'm going to put my family on notice that we must go. We must go and attend all these meetings. We cannot give excuses for these things. And it must be a big thing in our life. Very big thing. Then only you will be able to appreciate the goodness and the greatness of God in a very personal way. You know, by keeping yourself at a distance, you will never know. If I want to know my wife and to be loved by her, I cannot expect her to love me if I don't bother to get near her, right? If I'm always trying to run away from her, wasting my time with my soccer khakis and my theological khakis and my church khakis, but not my wife, she also will lose interest in me. If I am interested, of course I may have soccer khakis or theological khakis or whatever, but I still make sure I will call on her. And I want to make sure she's okay and she feel loved. And the same way, if she wants my attention, she got to look for it. She can't just go with that man and go with that lady and go with this and that. Darling, I'm sorry, my boss says today I have to go to England. I'm going with him. Huh? Okay, so when I'm coming back, I will let you know that when I'm in New York, I will call you. And then I will tell you what time. Okay. The man will go with some other woman. That's what you do. I mean, if you want God's blessing and you run out to the world, you run out to the devil, you want to do what you want, God is not going to wait there for you. You go waiting for Him, then you will know who He is. There must be that craving. Blessed is the man who will hunger after God. So that's waiting. You understand? It describes a passion, an unquenchable passion for God, and yearning, that hunger pang in his soul for God. So you can say, waiting is that pursuit of God by refusing all else. Alright, let's look at another example I gave, another verse I gave you to think about the word wait. Psalm 27, verse 14. Okay, second row. Okay, sister, can you understand? Can you read Psalm 27, verse 14?
Wait on the Lord, be of
good
courage, and
strengthen
them. Wait,
mercy
on the Lord.
Okay, now what does it mean? What's the main thought? Not just the word alone, but in the context. Wait on the Lord means what? Be of good courage and be strong in your heart. Right? So what is waiting? Waiting on the Lord would mean here. being firm, being strong, courageous, strong in the Lord. A man who waits on the Lord is a strong man. He's not going to be easily affected. There may be many hostilities, many adversities, many things that are against us, but you stand firm. That's waiting. So I think we can say waiting is standing firm, being confident in the Lord. Standing firm, courageous, confident in the Lord. So if any shaky situation happened in your life, will your heart fret? No, you say, I'm waiting on the Lord. People may leave me. Friends may forget me. I may have sickness. I'm not going to be afraid. I wait on my God. Meaning, I will be strong in the Lord. Yes? That's good meaning. Eh? All right, let's look at another set of verses. Okay, next. Would you please read?
Psalm chapter 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for you. Fret not thyself because of the who prosper in his field, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
So, I think this is the meaning you all got here. Patient. Wait patiently for him. In other words, wait patient. Waiting is being patient for God to act. You don't take things in your hand. Now, there are people who took things in their hand and they got it wrong. You know, King Saul, he wanted to offer sacrifices to God, but he was not of the Levite tribe. He was not a priest. So he was supposed to wait for Prophet Samuel to come. But Samuel was a little late. And so he jumped and said, oh, let me do the sacrifice. But the Lord was very displeased. And let's say if I'm rushing here, and Tammy says, oh, Rinpoche is not here, let me preach to you. There can be a hope. Tammy is preaching, and I go home. Or let's say my wife is waiting for the husband to come. And children and my wife are waiting. And they suddenly say, oh, no need to wait for daddy. Let's go. Let's go and do what we want. You know, there are people who do that. There are ladies who take over the husband's part and ask the husband to shut up. There are children who take over the parents' place. Is it correct? No, it's not right. There are people who undo the pastor. Is it right? Everyone has his calling. And you shouldn't take over somebody's place. It's a great sin. You remember when King Saul was rejected by God because of his wickedness, God asked Samuel to go and anoint David. And David didn't know. He had no plan to be a king. He was a shepherd boy. Then Samuel went to David's father's place, or father's house, Jesse's house, and called children one by one. Finally, David was not there, but God asked him to wait because God doesn't look inside, because some of David's brothers look strong and stout, good to fit the king's robe, but God said, wait. David came, and David was anointed, he became the king. Did David ever try to undo King Saul's throne? You know, remember he fought with Goliath, and he won, and the ladies started to see Saul killed 1,000, but David killed 10,000 and so on. And the king Saul became so angry and he started to chase David. He chased David all over the world, up the mountain, down the hill, into the cave, into the town, everywhere. David was being chased like a dog. But a couple of occasions, David had opportunity to kill King Saul. And David's friends asked David, can you just finish him off? He said, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Even though God rejected King Saul, David understood that King Saul is on the throne because God wanted to be there. My time will come. It's not for me to snatch somebody else's. In other words, you may have good desires, and you may know it is God's will, but you are never supposed to do it when it is somebody else's will. You don't undo them. If God wants you to be promoted, God will give you the promotion. And there's no way to do what you're supposed to do. You know, let's say your friend, you both of you started work together. You were working hard, and suddenly your friend gets promotion and he becomes above you, and you are very, very unhappy about it. You thought you would be the one, but somehow this happened. And then you start to maneuver, you start to talk bad about the person, you show your frustration, you don't want to do your work, you make sure everybody knows your answer. You are very unhappy. You see the good happen? You wait as the Lord has planned. Whether it's in the family, between husband and wife, or parents and you, if God wants you to wait, you better wait. You must know that when God wants you to wait, it is to remember God's appointment in your life and doing it, and not outdoing or outrunning God. Don't go ahead of God and do what you want. It's dangerous. Let's say your father is not so smart as you are, and he's a bit slow, and you go to him, "Aiya, you're so stupid, Daddy." Is it good to say like that?
No.
You shouldn't embarrass him. You should be saying, "Dad, maybe you didn't get this. Can I explain to you?" And nicely say it. Instead of standing, "Bodola," I saw one young girl. The father didn't understand what she wanted to do. Stood there, open, and you bodola, a clay in your head. One young lady asking the father, "What a shock of my life." The poor father looked so blurred and so sad. And he was looking at me as I think he's trying to give her a slap on the face, talk like that. Of course, I'm not encouraging violence, but so humiliating to the father. And sometimes you listen to some ladies talking to the husbands who are no respect. This talk as though he is the worst cunt in the world. He may have ill-treated you, but that doesn't mean you have to ill-treat him, right? We must learn to respect positions. I mean, there are some people, they support the opposition party, and then they go around, always talking bad about Prime Minister Lee. You don't have to do it. If God allowed them to be in that position, even though you have difference in policy, you can talk about your difference in policy. You shouldn't disrespect the man in the office. You understand? I mean, you can say, "I don't agree with PAP policy. I don't agree with PM-based policy." But speak with respect. It cannot be disrespectful. Because if you are disrespectful, then you are running ahead of God. God is the one who allowed it. Whether good or bad, God is the one who put him in the power. And you need to respect that. How about you ladies go to your husband and say, "I don't know why stupid me married you." You think it's the right thing to say? And you're angry? Of course it's no good for the husband to say it. And it's no good for you to say it. And let's say your children are not as smart as you are. You want. And then you say, "Why did God give me children like you? I also don't know." You disrespect your kids. And you look down on your children. You shouldn't say that. You must be able to say, "Oh, let's work hard, children. Mommy loves you. God gave you to me. And so let me tell you." You must say it in a way that God has appointed everything in life. You must respect next time your mother-in-laws and father-in-laws, no matter how difficult they are, you better know they are parents of your husband. Not to respect them is to disrespect your own husband. Of course, if men are here, I will tell them the same thing, okay? So this is because you are sisters, so I say it in this way. You rest. You see, people may take away your things, but they cannot take your God away. The world will take everything away and demean you by doing this and that and don't give you honor and respect. It's okay. It's okay. Your honor, your position in life will nobody steal. Nobody is going to succeed in it if God has meant all those things for you. It's yours. So wait patiently on the Lord. Let God work out things. Okay, rest in the Lord, okay? Don't rush. If somebody prospers, let him be. We don't want to go after his position and place. Okay, verse 9 of the same Psalm. Next.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, we shall inherit the earth.
Look at that. You wait on the Lord. If the person by evil means took your place, don't worry. His trouble is coming. Yours is the earth. In other words, your place in the earth that God appointed will be yours. Nobody's going to take it. Don't you believe that? If God wants you, let's say two boys, just one boy, two girls are interested in this one boy, and you are. I must hack her. I must give her the biggest blow so I can get this boy. You maneuver. You talk to this person. You talk to that person. And you go to the boy. Do you know, I'll be careful. I tell you a thing about that girl. And the boy will say, oh, thank you very much. Now I know you. The boy will tell you, tell you. Don't be stupid. If that boy is to be yours, God who created Adam and Eve will give you that man. Not to worry. If it is not that man, even if you shake the whole world, the man is not going to be yours. You look bad, that's all. Yes or no? Just be honorable. That's why I wait on the Lord. I hear sometimes funny stories, even in FBC. Oh, 2-3 girls after one boy. One day one girl came to me and said, I cried. You know, I have a heartbroken. I told you he loves me. He asked me to go out one day. And then next week he went with that girl. Asked, can you talk to him? I said, no, it's not my duty. I thought you're a dean of students. You mean dean of students means what? Chase every boy for you? Or what? If James is for Charmaine, she will get no matter who drives. But that's the way it is. If it's not for Charmaine, you lose also. Don't just sit there and cry. Goodbye to him. What else? Right? You don't have to worry. No one need to get into this terrible battle for fighting for boys and girls and positions and money. For what? Evildoers will have the consequences of evil they do. If they snatch yours, God will deal with them. I tell you, if you want something that God didn't want you to have, you are asking for trouble. You know, you don't have to possess the entire earth to live peacefully on this earth. Even though there is nothing, if God is with you, you will be far more peaceful and happy than the person who has everything in the world. Yes? You think every rich man's house is peaceful house? They are fighting every day, shouting and screaming, cursing, must take sleeping pills this week. So worried about money and investments. And sometimes you go into a poor man's hut, you only have a bowl of soup and a bit of rice with chili, paddy, and salt. They eat it, they praise God, and they go to sleep. Good sleep, no sleep, sleeping pills. They can sleep very well. So, my dear ladies, don't worry about possessing the world and losing the peace of your heart. Just stay with God. Alright, that's why we are all, let's read together. Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord. Keep His way, not your way, okay? Wait on the Lord means keep God's ways. And we shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see. So waiting is being patient for God to act and not pursuing wicked ways to get things done. You don't take things in your hand, but act quickly. Interesting how the word wait is used in the Bible. It's very powerful and theologically loaded word. Very practical as well. Okay, let's look at the next, which is the last. Psalm 25, verse 21. Okay.
Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on
thee. Integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait. So what do we mean by wait on the Lord? In the context. Okay, maybe we read one more verse, see whether it makes sense. Psalm 52, verse 9.
I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints.
So, any idea? Can we read one more verse? See whether this is more illustrative, very pictures. Okay. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look into the hand of their masters. This is what I told you a while ago. The servant's eyes are always looking to the hand of the master. Master said, you understand? His eye is always looking to the master. What master beckons me to do, I will do it. That's waiting. And that's why in verse 21 of Psalm 35 we read, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Because God is the only one who will teach you what is upright and integrity. Right? What is truthful. Only God. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, O God, but thine be done. Jesus prayed that prayer. Jesus always waited. When did Jesus pray that prayer? Not my will, but thine be done. In Garden of Gethsemane, when he was fighting against his own struggles about the death that is impending. So he went to Garden of Gethsemane and prayed. And he prayed until his sweat was like blood flowing out of the womb. That time he said, Father, if possible, remove this. Come, yet not my will, but thine will. That's servanthood. That's servanthood. Like the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden under the hand of a mistress, our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us. Do you see when God asks you to do something, is this mercy that beckons you to do something? If God give me 20 preaching today, do you think God is very unreasonable or merciful? I think he's very merciful. Because God will not beckon me to do anything which he will not strengthen me to do. If God asks me to worship, it's only because He is going to pour grace upon my life to worship Him. Right? If God asks me to give, it's not to make me poor. I cannot give anything if God doesn't give me anything. I can only give that which God gives. So if God asks me to give, that means He's going to give me also. Because I can't give anything out of myself. If God doesn't help, give me good health, if God doesn't give me strength, if God doesn't give me opportunity to work, I will not have any money. So if God requires me to give, I want to tell Him, Lord, I will surely give. I will give. What are you going to give? Whatever you give me, I will give. So if I'm going to give everything, and you still say give, that means you're going to give me more. Otherwise, what am I going to give? I got nothing. You understand? So if the Lord asks you to go, if the Lord asks you to serve, if the Lord asks you to fetch, if the Lord asks you to be patient, if the Lord asks you to be prayerful, please do it, because you are going to get extraordinary grace. Abounding grace. Exceedingly rich grace. So that you may do all that the Lord will fetch you to do. That's waiting. We cannot do a thing without trusting in God. On the way here, I was telling my wife, wow, it's very tough to serve God like this. You have no idea how many things I had to deal with since this morning. It's not just preaching. It's counseling, looking at the accounts of the church, because our auditing is going on. Our church accounts is really, really complicated. There's so many work going on. Millions of dollars come and go through the details. And our sister has been working with me for more than 15 years, 17 years. She's 70 plus now, and she's slowing down. And she has difficulty remembering everything. And I sometimes have to help her. I'm telling her it's time to retire, but she wants to serve until she dies. But now she says, Pastor, I think I'm going to retire. It's up to her already. So I said, I understand, I told you. I'm not pushing you out, but life is like that. So that burden. And then, you know, there's a retreat, Bible Witness retreat coming up. 90 old people going on Wednesday. So there are a lot of things with regard to it. It must be finished today. And so that's one. Then there are people who are sick. You all know preacher Dennis coming. He's not that well. He's hospitalized for examination. He seems to have chest pain and some numbness. So they will do the geogram on him today. And so that was another thing in my heart. And there are others sick. So many things today. So I was telling my wife, she said, maybe don't take all the appointments. And then she looked at me and said, but you still have to take what to do. Serve the Lord. And that's how. So now she comes up and down with me because she's worried about me and my health. And so she has always tried to go with me. I mean, I think God gave me a good wife who at least bothered to come with me. You know, I have a habit of falling asleep when I drive nowadays because of my diabetic condition. Especially when I drive up and down a bit, I get very tired. And no matter what, I cannot keep my eyes open. So if she's around, she will pinch me. She's my husband, Peter. She will pinch me, she will punch me, she will attack me. Wake up, let's go. So, well, thank God. When she's not around, God sent angels. You know, I've driven sometimes with sleeping for something like 2-3 minutes. Can you imagine how dangerous it is on BIE to drive? And I don't know how I reach a place. Oh, I'm yawning. Thank you, Lord. I didn't look down anybody. You don't believe me. But how to convince you? It's very difficult to convince. I stop my van, I take the curves, I keep the van straight, not me. And the van is moving. When I see some accidents, I say, oh Lord, you send your angels to guide you. I know we are not charismatics, but I do know God helped His servants. If the Lord didn't protect me, I wouldn't preach many of the sermons I preach. I would have died along the way. But that's how weak I am sometimes. Today, unusually, I'm very awake. I don't know why. very, very awake. She hasn't pinched me yet. So today I'm extremely awake by God's grace. I tell you something. Waiting on the Lord is wonderful. You find yourself doing more things. You may be a wife with so many things. Your husband, your children, your in-laws, your church. You find a day very, very extremely difficult. You are feeling tired. You can hardly keep your eyes open and adhere to do all these. You feel like screaming and throwing everything in. Go home. Oh, I just married her. Nobody loves me. I don't know. God, give me a terrible life. No maid, no heart, no in-laws, nobody to care for me. My husband always accused me. If that's what you want, you can do it. But if you say, Lord, you gave me this husband, you gave me these children, you gave me this environment, I'm not going to quit. By your grace, I will do it. Help me. You may drag yourself. You may just almost kill yourself by doing all this. It's better to do and die than be lazy and lie down there. We are created to be fruitful and be better bear fruit. And can never be if you don't work the way God wants. See, the Lord fetched you to do, trust Him to do it. You know, the Bible says, love your God with all your heart, all your mind, and with all your strength. Not with weakness. Give all the strength you have. And let me tell you, you will not have an ounce of energy if God doesn't give it to you. So, you're going to get it. Apostle Paul had great weakness in his body. He prayed 3 times the Lord will remove the thorn in the flesh. Remember? Did God remove the thorn in the flesh? No. God said, my grace is sufficient. And so Paul said, therefore, I glory in my infirmities. When I am weak, then I am strong. So even weakness is not an excuse for not serving God. Why? If you wait on the Lord, God will put that strength in you. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's waiting on the Lord. Serving by trusting in His power. Not serving based on your convenience. Not serving based on your feelings. Not based on your own motivation. But simply trust you serve God. That's waiting. Okay, so let's finish by reading the last verse. Psalm 130 verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. You see? What do you mean by my soul doth wait? I wait for the Lord. In other words, I'm ready to serve Him, whatever the Lord says, and my soul doth wait. I'm not allowing my soul to think about whatever it wants to think. I'm going to wait for God to command. And then in His word do I hope. In other words, in your promises. In all that God said, I put my hope. God will help us. You can say, oh, I'm going to do it because the Lord says, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. If God calls you as a missionary, or if God calls your husband as a full-time worker, you will say, let's go because I put my hope in God's word, which says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And at the end He said, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. And I remember God's promise, I will not forsake you, I will not leave you. So I will do His will. We need some good sisters in the church whose hearts are dedicated to do the way to do the will of God by waiting on Him. There are some sisters who discourage their husbands from serving God. It's horrible. They discourage because they don't have enough faith. And they say, if you serve the Lord so much in the church, then you forget us. No, I tell you, if your husband serves God, he's going to love you. If the husband doesn't serve God, he's going to serve his own flesh. And he's going to do all the wicked things against you. So it's best that they serve the Lord. So if you have to drag yourself to get ready to go with your husband to serve God, please work hard. If you want to be a dainty, you know, very soft, soft kind of lady. Early morning, wake up, slowly go to church. You cannot serve God. You must strengthen your hands. Go and read the virtuous woman's account in Proverbs 31. She wake up before the sun rises. She's a rich lady. She's a royal lady. She's a queen. But she's a woman who wakes up early. She strengthens her hand. She prepares the food, even for the maid. She feeds the neighbors who are poor. And she is called blessed. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price more precious than rubies? Sisters, if you wait on the Lord, you're going to be a blessing. So I put a question there at the end. What are the blessings for those who wait upon the Lord, right? Okay, let me just tell you. You can feel it. There's a lot of blessings. Just a quick look. The first group of things. Anybody sees anything? Okay, on this side. Any blessing you learned? That those who wait upon the Lord, they will not be ashamed. Psalm 35 verse 3. They will be led. Psalm 25 verse 5. They will, God will be their hope. God will be their strength. God will provide for them. Look at that. I said all that from those verses. It's all there. Right? They will not be ashamed. They will be led. They will have God as their hope. They will have strength. God will provide the food, meet his food, induce it. Wonderful blessings, right? So likewise, you can write on your own other blessings mentioned in those verses. And God bless you with strength. Thank you, Lord, for the time with strength. To look at the word, to see what is waiting on the Lord. And may these sisters continue to study God's word deeply. This way, the way that we have studied, they may also study the wonderful truths of God's word to nourish up their souls. And Lord, we pray tonight also, as we come back to learn your word, may you help us, that we may know what it is to be a Christian with contentment. In Jesus' name.